Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
hypothesis behind the confusion between a classical particle and a wave function. And I'm going to go in and have a guess at some of the origins of the confusion. Now, the classical particle is basically intellectually offensive, basically, in terms of energy and thought and its correspondence to the actual world that we live in. In terms of, as a ranking, it's got lower peaks on it, lower stars on it than the wave function. And one would then therefore say, well, look, let's move on. Let's go straight to the wave function. But there's many things. Obviously, the classical particle is still reigning supreme. And why would it do it? And there's several strands to it, and I'll mention a few strands. One is it's the darling of it's very teachable because it's very easy to draw a dot. It's much more difficult to draw a three-dimensional two-phase complex wave function which has no surface. That's got an advantage. So similarly, that's the advantage of feeding someone a chocolate bar compared to through a vegetable balanced diet. The chocolate bar you can unwrap and feed it, throw it to them, and they go, love it. Yep, and it's got a tick. And if you do a survey of happy little 3-year-olds, they'll go, oh yeah, yay, chocolate bar all the time, I love it type of stuff. So there's that aspect. There's the conspiracy of personalities. There's a sort of a quantum gentleness. If you look at Schrödinger and you look at a few of these people, are very gentle, and they live in terms of a superposition, a wave function of their life. And in a certain sense, the multiple wave functions is very much the feminine way of living life. Anyone ever heard me, if ever I try to even make a comment about that thing, that I would be absolutely slammed. You know, what would I know and stuff? But the superposition of different ideas is a very accommodating way. You can see quantum mechanics in sort of society where someone can see the different wave functions, the different things superimposing, and they look at a person and their environment and the interaction and things like that. There's a more complex, more generous way of looking at things, which is behind quantum mechanics. And you can see that the people who weren't like that, that's the very dominant male type of, I've got to be, I'm the leader of the family, and blah, 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 you know, all that. And points the fact, you know, so that sort of male thought has gone through and has dominated. And male thought has a way of just insisting that's right and taking the bat and ball and running home and closing down the conversation. And it's sort of, and males eventually, if they pursue this way, they can rise to the top of organizations and do all sorts of havoc. And in a sense, we experience the ultimate male havoc of bore and other bleed people going around promoting their particle, because they really have never stopped to say, well, perhaps they haven't been at peace with the lack of understanding. It takes a little while to actually get the ghost lights. Universe of evading soft. You know, quantum, look, if I can say, quantum wave functions are soft, and they're everywhere. It's a beautiful thing to do. That's one line. So you've got two lines. The one is the demand that people in, you know, quantum wave functions are perhaps too much for a 3-year-old to get. Perhaps not. Reminds me, I should probably write a kiddie's book. I've written a children's book called My First Elements, and I have the elements, you know, doing various things. I've written a few children's books like that. I should write one on the wave, the little wave function, who's bashed up by all the classical particles. That will get people thoroughly confused. I'll have no readership for that whatsoever. It's a hard gig writing children's books because, I don't know, it's just really so hard. You might be a little bit off, and that's just the death. It's so easy to have a negative opinion. Get back. So there's two things. There's the demand and the supply. And the supply is supply because it reinforces a cultural view of world domination. I don't know. Classical physics is the physics of guns and shooting and football and all this hitting and, you know, classical physics is what you need to grab a bone and hit another competitor over the head. Quantum physics is a way of thinking which gets society going together in a beautiful, beautiful way. I know it's a bit esoteric, and a few people will go into it, but if you're into it, you can definitely see it. But then again, there is this thing that a quantum physicist will do something which people interpret as a reinforcement of their point view. So if you can imagine a quantum physicist as someone who can sing a note and spin a yarn and tell a story. Look, a particle is not at a position. It's everywhere, and it folds, and it's got all this, it's got a story to it. Quantum wave function, a function is a story of existence. A function is, you know, x, y equals x squared is a story. You know, y equals 1 and x equals 3, that's a point, done and finished. Y equals x squared, oh, you got to go on. It varies for all this type of stuff. Just going to move on, get out. Function, well, I don't like him. But then what happens is that people really don't like a function. So everything is a wave story. How's about that? It's a story which can ebb and flow, and a story which has a beginning, middle, and end. You know, this is quantum mechanics is a narrative. Everything's got a narrative and a story. It's got so much going into it compared to, bup, I've done my electron, and let's move on. I've pushed it there. That's it. And kids, let's have a vote. Yay! I like the electron. Yeah, I like the electron there. It's unfortunately, it doesn't get you anywhere. It's sort of like feeding people jelly beans. They'll still be hungry for lunch, and they're not going to be able to go home. So what is it? They wait till a quantum physicist draws a point. And yes, it is true. Or a beautiful wave point, we can reduce it to a point. And there's a time when we draw a point. We don't draw a point in XYZ, our space, XYZT, our space. We draw a point in something called momentum space. There is a space, because wave functions are quantized, or can be quantized, there you go, they can be quantized. If they've got, the moment that you put put a boundary, you can then fill it with a three-dimensional polka dot of points. And so you can see a quantum physicist will draw an electron as a point. But at the drawing a point, I'm saying it's got a fixed energy and momentum and quantum number. That's there, fixed numbers, and in that it is a point. So let's do something similar, which is easy to imagine. Imagine that I am marking on a graph. I've got a whole heap of shapes. I've got a triangle, a square, a pentagon. It goes up and up and up. And I put a little single point and they've got a fixed size. So therefore, fixed side length. And so I will draw on the x-axis the number of sides, on the y-axis the area going up. Okay, and so what happens is, for this shape, there's a big shape here, it's a point. For a square, it's a point with an area of 1 unit squared. For a pentagon, it's a shape, it's not a little bit more than one, but not as much one. So there's a big jump from 3 to 4. And so you can imagine that I can draw a series of points. And if I run into the room and shout, everything's a point, and then I say, ha-ha, you've drawn those shapes as points, that's all quantum apart, and the triangle has a point, a triangle point duality. It's just absolute madness. And that's what we do. We draw electrons as points, and I can't begin to describe. It's sort of like, I don't know, sort of marking HSC, where everyone in the state has drawn a band energy diagram and have drawn the electron as a point in the band energy diagram. So it's energy versus, or quantum number on the bottom axis, and into the page is momentum and speed, and everyone has drawn a point, and everyone believes that that point is an electron, because I've drawn it as a point, that electron is a point, but and somehow we've actually grabbed it from a point orbiting a nucleus, and it violates the laws of physics. However, Bohr has actually come up with violation get out of go cards, and that's my understanding. It's sort of insanity. It is for me like coming to a enormous battlefield where these two armies have met each other and everyone has died. There is no sign of life there whatsoever. Not 10, not 20, not hundreds, but thousands upon thousands. 10,000 papers, not one showing any semblance of the true understanding. And then you go up and then you click back over the years, and not one, year after year, people are sent in to produce the same thing. They still believe that in your band diagram, when you draw an electron in the conduction band as a little dot, that electron is a little dot, and that electron can be pushed either side in the band diagram by an electric field. It's overwhelming feeling of, oh my God. But it's a thing that is sort of deep inside you in a shell, because on the outside no one else is seeing it, because everyone else has been taught that way. But all I can say is go to the internet and type in quantum mechanical wave function, have a look at them. Go Orbital Viewer is a piece of software you put your own in. I have lots of fun with that. I can make all different sorts of shapes. I can make a shape which is a little pair of legs coming out of a nappy. So I still can't quite remember I sort of can't remember how that's done. Orbital Viewer or Dynamic Periodic Table. Have a look. Have a look at it. And a lot of the things where they show is still not quite there. Some people show the wave functions as tiny little snowflakes of these classical particles coming into existence, and that's a lot of guff. And sometimes it's shown as solid stuff, like donuts and things like, and they're not solids, they don't have surfaces. It's hard to visualize, but it's even harder to visualize from a culture which has said no to quantum mechanics. They've said no to wave functions. They've said yes to classical things. And it's a bit like, I don't know, sometimes I have had friends in the Australian Mapping Corps who went up to Papua New Guinea and went up to very rarely was there a tribe that ever had no contact with it, but they had a lot of difficulty conceptualizing things. I think up in Papua New Guinea, they didn't have the word for the color yellow. That might not be right, but I can sort of remember a friend saying something like that. These are the people, are not pre-Vietnam War era, so that they're friends of friends, and they would go up there, the Australian Army Mapping Corps. There were helicopters there, I do remember that. But the inability to see the wave function is a cultural thing. It's sort of like the reverse of first contact. We're not finding a lost tribe which has never had contact with culture. So there's quantum mechanics of culture, and the whole world has not really cottoned on to what's going on. So what I'll do is, the next podcast I'll do, I'll discuss the sort of the gentle way where I have had a personal superposition of classical and the quantum wave functions when I did research and discovered the world's smallest molecule. Yes, I have discovered molecules, and I'll discuss my own personal journey, which is really different. I'm not a confrontational person, and I suppose I've grown up expecting not to be listened to, and so I sort of accept that and have been liberated to it, and that's why I go off doing my own research, in actual fact. So not everything is all that sad. So I'll do that as another podcast. So at the moment, here, just in summary, I'm just trying to let you know that the classical particle is just an amazing concept, that it's so entrenched in our society, and it's alive because that's the only currency we have, and it's alive for historical reasons, it's alive for cultural reasons, it's alive for many, many reasons, but it's alive at the expense of our ability to understand the quantum wave function. And I think that's something that's just come to me as I've described it. A wave function is a... wave means consistency. Instead of using the word wave, I can... a beach has a methodical wave, and I can interpret it because it's consistent. And a wave is something which exists across a dimension, like a story. So it means replacing a punch. I go up to you, I consider a classical particle like a punch. It just goes up to you. You punch it, you accept it or not. It's there. It says some sort of information. It corresponds to something in our world, but another way of saying wave function is consistent narrative, and I can have a superposition of consistent narratives going on top of each other from different perspectives to build up something as beautiful as an atom. And when you come to think of it, there are some atoms which are incredibly beautiful to think of, with certain spins and structures and transitions, or the first element in various things. Or when you look at its quantum mechanical behavior, there is some incredibly beautiful aspects, subtle patterns in the periodic table. So till next time, keep on listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.